These indexes hitched the price of food to the price of oil. In 2008, traders drove up the price of food independently of commodity indexes funds. When the oil price bubble burst in the middle of the year, hot money ditched oil and moved into the one thing that people would need even in the middle of a recession, something to eat. There is considerable debate among economists about whether speculators drive up prices. Economic models insist that there ought not to be any abnormal profit in speculation, but rather that every winning trade has its losing counterpart. For every trader driving a Bugatti, another has lost his shirt, at least in theory. Reality is a little different. For their part, traders admit that they're gaming the system. A major study by the United Nations Conference on Trade and Development suggests that commodities markets aren't working as they ought, and this wouldn't be the first time in the past 2 years that reality has failed to live up to economists' expectations. Another force behind the food price spike was a policy that was sold to the public as being something that could wean us off oil, biofuels. More properly termed agrofuels, bio meaning life-giving is argued to be an inappropriate name for an industry that causes such misery. This is an industry in which crops are grown not in order to eat, but in order to set on fire. Corn, sugarcane, jatropha, and a few other crops are grown in order to be processed into ethanol. To stimulate the market, the EU and US governments legislated and subsidized purchasing targets for agrofuels. This encouraged farmers around the world to plant crops, particularly corn, that might be turned into ethanol, destined for the gasoline tanks of the world's richest consumers. In a tight market, the land diverted to fuel drove up the price of other kinds of corn and cereals. There were few good environmental reasons to encourage the corn-to-ethanol industry. Although corn is renewable, it isn't sustainable. It takes more energy to produce than might be saved by simply burning diesel. But in a midterm election year in the US in 2008, it was deemed better to burn American corn than Saudi oil, so prices went up. US President George Bush suggested that the contribution of agrofuels to food price inflation was 15%. The World Bank said it could be 75%. Most reasonable estimates are somewhere in between. Right now, the planet's 7th billion person has been born, likely somewhere in a city in South Asia. Population growth has been fingered as a reason behind the food price rise. George Bush himself, in perhaps one of the most controversial explanations of the food price crisis, offered this. The more prosperous the world is, the more opportunity there is. It also, however, increases demand. So, for example, just as an interesting thought for you, there are 350 million people in India who are classified as middle class. That's bigger than America. Their middle class is larger than our entire population. And when you start getting wealth, you start demanding better nutrition and better food. And so demand is high, and that causes the price to go up. The president overestimated the ranks of the Indian middle class somewhat. A McKinsey Global Institute puts the figure at nearer 50 million. And it isn't as if a large chunk of the Indian population decided to cast their Hinduism to the winds and chow down on burgers. Per capita meat consumption in India is still 20 times less than in the US, and growing relatively slowly. India was also a relatively small importer of food, causing far fewer ripples in the international economy than the president assumed. If there's a reasonable point buried in here, it's this. The Western diet is causing a nutrition transition, and with it a higher demand for meat. This is certainly one of the long-term drivers of inequity in the food system, and therefore a chronic, rather than an acute, cause for worry. It's not the people that are the problem, it is the way we consume through this food system, which allows a few to eat healthily, many to eat unhealthily, and many more not to eat at all. In an effort to stave off the worst effects of the crisis, some governments reacted quickly to protect their citizens. Trouble is that in a global economy, one government's actions on the international market have consequences for everyone else everywhere else. India and Thailand, two of the world's largest rice exporters, announced that they'd trim their contributions to the global market in October 2007. In response to the rising rice prices, the world's largest rice importer, the Philippines, tried to buy 500,000 tons of rice on the open market.